Praise God. Praise the Lord. Here we have these really bright little square things. Barbara says, no, I don't remember what was there. Okay, well, we're not going to miss it then. Okay, so it's been there all these years. Anyway, here's the remains of it over here. And we're getting a big screen. I think it's this column. Is this column? And that one over there, big screen. So everybody can see the words from any place in here. We're going to leave that. I think we increased it. I think we got a 72. It's like 6 feet. So it'll be basically just this and that. And then we'll have to put one there on that little corner somehow because there's a little alcove, you know, because this juts out so you can't really see. So we may just move that one over here where people can see. So anyway, we have some things, projects that we're trying to get done this summer. Over the summer, kind of toward the summer, and then we're going to take a break for summer. I need a break. And then next summer, we're going to pick up and do some more things. There's some other things on the horizon that we are wanting to do, but I just wanted you to see, you know, kind of we're moving forward with some things that we've been wanting to do for a while. And I just said, no, it's time. It's time. We need to hurry up, get some things done. So that's what we're doing. So you'll be seeing some different things up in here, so I just wanted you to be prepared. And for those of you that have been coming here a while, it's an exciting thing when things begin to change and shape up and stuff. And we did get the chair dolly. Dee's got to put it together, but anyway, so we can move some of these chairs around where we need them to be. We can locate them the way they need to be located and all that good stuff. So we're working on that. We'll be doing that over the summer as well. And, of course, y'all are in on all these projects. Y'all understand how this works, right? Yeah. But it's fun. It's fun. We all go out to eat someplace, you know, hot, sweaty, nasty, whatever, and just fellowship. That's always fun. Not the sweaty part, but the fellowship. I'm going to be talking to you this morning on spiritual maturity. This is a vast subject, so I'm just going to dabble in it a little bit. This is probably as far as we'll be able to get at least today. I think there's some confusion in the body of Christ about what spiritual maturity is, what people are looking at for spiritual maturity. And so we're going to be looking at some verses today to help clarify some things for just our lives, so we can move forward. So turn me this morning to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is where I'm going to be this morning, part of it. He says, this is Paul speaking. You know, the church in Corinth had a few issues. And Paul says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. That was a slam. In other words, carnal means you're just of the five senses. I can't speak to you as spiritual people, because you're still limited by just the five senses. You're still limited by just what you can see or hear, smell, taste, touch, that sort of thing. He said, as babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And I guess he was saying, and then he says, and even now you are still not able. So this was a real indictment. In other words, he's saying, why aren't you growing? Where is the growth from what I had told you when I was here before? So there are some churches he went to where, I think it was a church in Galatia, but anyway, he was really pleased with the other churches he would go to, and it was like, wow, what's been going on since I left? And then he says, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? In other words, he said, you're acting just like everybody else who doesn't know this gospel. And so he's surprised, but he's telling them, this is where you guys are. You're fooling yourselves. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Let me go back and explain all that. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor is he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. I'll stop right there. So what he's talking about is that in our lives there may be several people who impact us to pursue God. They have encouraged us to know God in a more intimate way. Apollos was an Alexandrian Jewish Christian. He was in the first century, who was a contemporary of Paul, the Apostle Paul. He had an important role in developing the church of Ephesus in Corinth. And so Paul is saying, we both are ministering the word. Why do you say, well, now I'm one of Paul's. I'm for Paul. And this one says, I'm for Apollos. I think he's better than Paul. And then, so all of a sudden, this division is starting to come in the church. Divide and conquer. Do you know that the devil does this in relationships, families, churches, businesses, all kinds of things? He wants to come in because if he can divide, he can conquer. And he'll do it. I mean, he's after you, that's all I can tell you. He wants to conquer you and everything God's done in your life that's been so rich. He goes on in verse 9, you were God's field, you were God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's saying the foundation is Jesus. Paul says, I'm not the foundation. Apollos is not the foundation. He says, Jesus is your foundation. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of which sort it is. If anyone's work which he's built on, it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Yet so is through fire. In other words, they're still going to be saved, but they won't have much to show for it. Because they built for the wrong motives, the wrong reasons. They let division come in. And so when you're building, you have to make sure you're not letting division come in. I can't say that enough because I've seen this over the years. And it just ends up being a big mess when division comes in to churches or families. And they say, I'm not going to go to their house anymore because of this, or I'm not going to do this, or whatever it is. And they let division come in. And God says, don't do that. Don't be one of those that partakes in that stuff. So he was upset. Now, Paul, we know this was what his job was, to plant the seed. He was a planter, remember? He traveled. He went to all, I mean, he wrote half the New Testament, basically. So the seed, of course, was the word of God. He planted the seed of the gospel of Jesus, and then Apollos came after that, and he watered the same seed. It wasn't a different seed. Apollos was watering the same seed and instructed the people further so they could grow and open Christ. But apparently some people began to have thoughts and conversations about who was significant, Paul or Apollos. So they began to bring this divisive thought process into the church that Paul had been, and it grieved Paul when he found out about it. These kinds of thoughts and comments were producing division and even strife. James 3:16 says, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Yep. So that's strife. That verse is talking about strife when you're seeking something for yourself or you want a position. Well, I know Apollos better than you do. Well, I had lunch with Paul yesterday. This, you know, y'all understand what I'm saying? This goes on in the business world all the time. What the people were doing grieved Paul. I grieved the Lord too. And Paul was grieved with this behavior of promoting one saint over another. Spiritual maturity doesn't do stuff like that. My point is that he saw them as babes. He said, "I'm trying to feed you the word of God, but I can't go any further because you still haven't understood how evil strife can be, whether it's on your job, whether it's with your family or friends." You know, I'm talking about Christian people. And it comes from people being just very judgmental about another person they've never even really even had a conversation with. You know, and Paul says, you know, if you have an issue with, you need to go to that person and talk to that person you have an issue with. You don't talk about that person to someone else because that's what causes strife. This is where church splits come from, y'all. This is where it comes from. It's just, did you see it? Well, I don't know. I mean, she just, And next thing you know, something's happened. But it wasn't all of a sudden. Usually it's been going on a long, long time, longer than you were aware it was going on. And this is why you don't have to be nice. Because there comes a time when you confront that mess. Yeah, I learned that the hard way. You confront that stuff is what you do when you know that that's there going on. And because people, they'll say anything and they're just kind of like dreaming it up out of their own heart and mind sometimes. You haven't said anything mean to them. You haven't done anything to them. You're just bringing the word of God or whatever, but they don't like who you are. They don't like the way you are. And so all of a sudden, all this strife is coming out of them. You know, and we walk in love here. We all love each other, right? I mean, I love all of y'all. And I'm so glad Sammy's back. Feeling better. Just good. Yeah, feeling really good. We've been missing you. So anyway, when we're talking about spiritual maturity, these are things we have to look at. Now, I'm going to go over to, where do I want to go? Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 12. A lot of times in the body of Christ, people have decided that when people are moving in gifts, they must be very spiritual, very mature. This is not true. It's not true at all. The same week that I was baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues, I knew things about people that didn't know that I knew, that nobody ever told me. It's called word of knowledge. Well, you know things about people that they haven't said to you. And God will tell you some things for prayer, not so you be a busybody. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And when God tells you something about somebody, that's not what you preach. You pray for that person. Y'all understand? This is important because it was a gift. Like if Mackie got a gift from me and just said, "Well, I don't know, I just saw this and I just wanted to give it to you." I didn't work for it. I didn't earn it. I didn't even know she was going to do it. So how could I possibly take credit? And it had nothing to do with my maturity, right? Nothing. The spiritual gifts are not a sign that you're mature at all. Because it was a gift. You didn't grow into it. Now, after you have a gift, you can learn how to grow in that gift, but that's based on your relationship with the Lord, not you. It's based on what you're learning from God, about how to move and about how to handle that gift among people, because you become a steward of that gift. I don't think sometimes people realize you're a steward of the giftings God has put in you. Well, let's look at some of these giftings so you can understand more what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians 12, look in verse 4. There are diversities, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Your gift isn't for you. Your gift isn't so you can display yourself. Your gift is to help other people in the body of Christ. Whatever giftings God has put in you, it wasn't about you. It was about how God wanted to use you to bless other people. Do y'all understand that? This is so important. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. The Spirit's doing this. See, the Spirit is doing it. You're not doing it. You're just yielding to the Spirit. The Spirit, this is why God gets all the glory. We don't. And it says, it's the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So whatever gifts God has given you, that is exactly what you're going to need to fulfill God's call and plan on your life. See, whatever giftings He's put in you. And I've listed these. And when I talk about gifting, they're supernatural. You can't make this stuff happen. You can't just dream this up in your head. I mean, like, there are people that the moment that they were born again, full of the Holy Ghost, next thing you know, they're praying for somebody and they get healed instantly. They can pray for somebody, and they haven't even read the Bible yet. They haven't even read the whole Bible yet. There are a lot of Christians who never read the whole Bible their whole life, though, which is really sad, because you'd be so much better off if you would. You would understand love better. You would understand love so much better if you read the Bible. You would read over and over and over about love, about God's love, about God's provision, about everything you need for your whole life. He's already provided it for you, already up front. That there'll never be a day when you'll be abandoned. There'll never be a day when you're just not up to the task. Why? Because He says, well, you're not trying to do this. I'm working through you, remember? I just need your hands and feet. Let's get up. Let's go. Let's get up. Let's go. Get yourself there somehow. Oh, man. A gift doesn't mean there's really effort on your part. Like I was saying, if she just walked up and handed me a gift, I didn't do anything about that gift coming to me, did I? I didn't make that happen. And you don't choose what your gifts are going to be. He chooses for you. It has to do with what God's plan was for you before you were ever born. Before you were ever born, God knew you. He knit you together in your mother's womb, and He had a plan for your life that included Him ministering through you gifts He put in you that's going to help other people. It's the truth. I'm telling y'all straight up. And so a lot of times people get jealous of other people's giftings. Well, I wish I could do that. Well, what about, do you know what yours are? So that's the question. Do you know what your giftings are? Have you discovered what your giftings are? And you can read these again in 1 Corinthians 12. But your giftings is not a sign of your spiritual maturity. There's no merit in you operating in what God allowed you to do and gave it to you in the first place. You are simply obeying. You do get kudos for obeying. Well, let's keep looking, because we look at these spiritual gifts, and the reason why I'm saying this is because this is the hindrance in the body of Christ, is spiritual immaturity and not understanding these things. Can y'all put up there? I just turned my thing. Go, I didn't mark it. Turn up 1 Corinthians. Did I read 12 through 14? Okay, I'm going to read 12 through 14 and then 23 through 26, please. Save some time here. Or maybe not. Here I am. Okay, go down to verse 12. He says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many members." There's many people in the body of Christ. There are people in China that are our brothers and sisters. I won't see them here. I'll see them in heaven. And they're paying a huge price to serve Jesus. There are people, Bangladesh, I mean, Costa Rica, just places all over the world where there are Christians that are faithful to God. And they risk their lives every single day to even speak his name, and they do it anyway. We have nothing to complain about here. Yep. Now go to verse 26 of that same chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." It's kind of like when somebody from us is missing, going through, it can be a trial, it can be a financial thing, it can be anything. We need to underguard that person. We need to be praying for whatever the situation is. We might not know what it is, but we know something's going on. You can tell when something's going on. And so something out of character for that person or whatever, you just begin to cover that person in prayer that they'll know the love of God. That they'll know the love of God because they're going through something. And I tell you, a lot of times the love of God, just knowing how much God loves you, will carry you through a lot of garbage in life. That you're loved, you are cared for, and that what you're going through is temporary, and that you already have the victory. You have victory. You have victory. It doesn't matter what it looks like, seems like. You have victory. Because Jesus said, "I gave it to you. And I gave you gifts. And there's callings on your life. There's things that I created you to do. You need to be busy learning what that is and get busy doing it." Because he says you'll show up to heaven. You'll escape the fire. You'll show up to heaven. But will you have crowns to lay at his feet? What will we have to show for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us? Wow, see, I just said something. It's really deep. A lot of people don't get it. They go to church, the Christian thing, you know, you have a little Christianese. It's, you know, well, I'm blessed. And, you know, well, yes, I'm blessed. But I'm blessed so I can be a blessing. And I learn so I can impart. The reason why you're here is because you don't have anything else to do. Hopefully you're learning something. So when you're talking, you're training people in your family or on your job or whatever, you'll have a different perspective of how God sees them as precious. And go, yeah, what am I? But they just cuss me out. They are precious to God. Suck it up. Learn to suck it up and quit it. Let it not be about you anymore. The problem is we make things about us, that if somebody mistreats us, we make it all about us now. We forget who we are. We forget who we are. We forget how loved we are. We forget how powerful we are. We forget how much he's done for us. It's like we have these memory lapses. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You have these memory lapses from time to time. You just forget. You're in a zone. You just forget who you are. Wait a minute. Woo, 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 woo. Wow. And you got to get a hold of yourself. And say, wait a minute. Who am I really? I'm a child of God. I'm a child of a king. I'm a child of the king of the whole universe, the one who rules and reigns and will rule and reign forever. So now let's go to chapter 13. The true test of spiritual maturity is your character, not your gifts. You understand? Endurance. See, people are spiritual, they endure. They learn how to endure. They learn that day in and day out, God is the same. My day may feel different, be different, but God is the same. Therefore, his promises are true. His promises are always the same. His love for me never fails. He is always there. He is with me wherever I go, wherever I set my foot, God is with me. There's a verse that says, if I make my bed in Sheol, you're with me. I think it was David in one of the Psalms. If I made my bed in Sheol, hell, the place of the damned, you'd be there. In other words, I'll never be anywhere where God isn't. Why? Because he lives in me. God would have to rip himself out of me for that to happen. And he said, but he's already made a promise that he won't do that. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will not even relax my hold on you. I'm holding you. I've got you in the palm of my hand. He's got a grip on us. Do we understand that? See, if we really understood God's with us wherever we go, we wouldn't be so timid about him. A lot of people believe things they don't see. They believe reports all the time. They didn't see it. They don't know. They weren't there. They just believe somebody wrote it and posted it. And they always think it's true. It's amazing. But then you can say something about the Bible, and it's all written down. They go, oh, well, I don't believe that. Because they're spiritually dead. They can't. Spiritually dead people don't believe the Word of God. They don't. Because they're spiritually dead. When you're born again is when you are birthed. That's why it's called a birth. Your spirit is now born. You were dead to the things of God. But after you're born again, you become alive unto God, the Bible says. And all of a sudden, you have ears to hear. You have a heart that wants to lean into the things of God. But before you're born again, you don't. So Paul was disappointed in this church. He said, you should be further along. He said, you're carnal. You're carnal. But the gifts were there. They weren't coming behind in any of the gifts. All the gifts were moving. Signs and wonders, miracles were taking place. And Paul is saying, wait a minute, y'all are carnal. So I would just suggest to you that you not be fooled by that, because many people are. They go, well, if the gifts are really powerful, that person really must be very knowledgeable. You can't go by that. All I'm telling you is you can't go by that. I look at people's longevity. Did they last? How long have they been around? And what is their crowd like? And what do they actually believe? What do they actually teach? What are they saying? Are there people growing? Or are they just pew sitters, chair sitters, bench sitters, whatever? See, we were called to stand for him. We sit with him in heavenly places, but here we stand for him. Let's talk about this chapter in the 4 minutes I have left. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Do you see this? Do you see what he's saying here? This is powerful. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Isn't that precious? Love never fails. So we've got to see that he's trying to say, wait a minute, there's some things that you guys somehow didn't get. You didn't understand somewhere along the way. Now, let's go back to our Galatians where we were. Oh, I probably didn't have that in there, Bonnie. I'm going to go ahead. But when he's talking about spiritual maturity, it's found in the fruit of the Spirit. You were given, you did not earn, we'll say it again, you did not earn the fruit of the Spirit. It was given to you through Jesus Christ when you were saved. But this is what it is. But the fruit of the Spirit's in 5:22, Galatians 5:22, it's just a verse. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Do we always walk in love? Do we always walk in love? I'm talking about love like God loves. Do we walk in that? Yeah, that's a hard one, isn't it? It's very challenging to always walk in love. What about joy? The Bible says the joy of the Lord comes from Him, remember? It's a supernatural joy. It's in your spirit. What about peace? That's a tough one, isn't it? See, these are signs of spiritual maturity. Joy, peace, long-suffering. That means you suffer a long time. You put up with a whole bunch. You're very patient. You wait. You've learned to wait. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes we want to jump in because we think we know how everything's supposed to be. And then God has to pull us aside and revamp our whole psyche so that we see things the way He sees them. What about kindness? Do we have a kind heart? Are we always kind? Or do we just have to say that very last snippy thing? Yeah, I hear the rumblings. Yeah. I hear you, Bob. What about goodness? You just try to do people good? Are you happy when good things happen for other people? Or are you jealous and wish it would just happen for you, but you're not them? Faithfulness. Here's a big one. Faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to Jesus. Faithful to what He called you to do. Faithful with the giftings that He has given you. Faithful with your finances. Faithful with any talents, anything He's given you. Faithful with your words. Are we faithful with our words that He's given us to speak to people? Are we doing it? Are we faithful in that area? Gentleness. Wow. A gentle tongue can break a hard, crusty soul. Think about how gentle God's been with you. How kind, how good God's been with you, how gentle. When you didn't understand, maybe had days when you doubted His word or doubted Him somehow. And yet He's the same. He's always the same, consistently gentle and kind. What about self-control? This is a big one. How good are we at controlling us? See, you have that though. What I'm trying to tell you is you have self-control. You've always had it from the day you were born. You've had the fruit of self-control in your spirit ever since you were born again. So how's that working for you? It says against such there's no law. This is your verse for spiritual maturity. Amen. Now stand up. God, You're faithful to us, and I am so glad. You've been good to us when we weren't good to You. You have seen us and longed for us when we were too busy for You. You have been beyond kind. You have shielded us. You have covered us. You're the air we breathe. We don't know how to do anything apart from you, God. But you have said you want us to grow up and not be babes anymore. That we're not baby Christians, staying baby Christians our whole life. And I'm thanking you for it because we really don't want to. Because we want to have those crowns we can lay at your feet, Jesus. Because you've been so good to us. You have shielded us from car wrecks, all kinds of things, our whole life. Really close calls, we know it was. And your angels intercepted. You have shielded us from all kinds of diseases and poverty and just things that really could have gone really badly because of our decisions or our attitudes. But oh God, you were so faithful. You brought us through one more time so that we could still serve you because you want us to have the joy when we see you, when we go to be with you, of being able to have crowns to lay at your feet. You want us to have that joy. And you've put that joy in our spirit already. Everything that heaven is, we already have it in us. Everything you need for life and godliness, the Bible says, he's already given you. So God, I give you praise and I thank you this day that we are well supplied. We are well supplied with what we need to move forward in you and have a new life. Have good marriages, strong families, and that we have learned that we don't have to say everything we think. We can wait until we have words that are fruitful from you. And people will see the difference in us and say, there must be a God. Because you know how she used to be. And look at her now. Or him or whoever. God, I give you praise for that. I'm grateful for that. And God, I honor you today because you're God. And your word is true. Amen. Amen. Steven, I love you guys.